morning, church. It's so good to see you and packed out today, both services. We really do need that third service upcoming, and we're looking forward to growing again and gathering again as the North Campus just continues to expand, more than expand, to explode over these days. We're very excited. As Deb and I were coming up from Plano, you can just feel the life pulsating from this place. I'm serious. There's just so much life and energy with families walking up and people coming into the fellowship of the church and to celebrate today 15 years. It seems impossible. Life really is brief, and it seems like just yesterday we were starting, but now here we are these 15 years later and celebrating what God is doing, all that God has done and yet to do. Thank you, Connor, for your leadership as you're shepherding our North Campus and preaching most every Sunday here, and the incredible team. And as I mentioned in the video, what makes our church the church is just the engagement of people, the involvement of people from the beginning till now, just serving and teaching and praying and witnessing and doing all that we do together. And it is the role of the pastor to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And so the encouraging and in the equipping ministry is going on very, very well here. The title of this message is There Is More. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah, the 54th chapter, on the heels of one of the greatest chapters in all of the Bible, Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, descriptive and prophetic of Christ, who would come and lay down his life for us. On the heels of that passage of Scripture is a message to God's people and to us, his church. Now, there is more. There is always, always, always more for the Christian, for you and me as followers of Jesus, and there's always more for the church. And it is God's will that individually and together that we grow, that we reproduce, that we bear fruit and more fruit and much fruit, that we multiply. In fact, multiplication, reproduction was the first commandment in the Scripture. Did you know that? In Genesis chapter 1, when God said to the first couple, be fruitful and multiply throughout the earth. And the call of God's church to all of God's people is to enlarge, to stretch, to strengthen and lengthen and not hold back, to spare no expense in fulfilling the great commission and the great commandment of our God. So after the introduction of Jesus, the great suffering servant, our Savior, verse 1 of chapter 54 says this, sing, O barren one who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring, that is your legacy, will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. I like the way the New Living Bible gives us that last verse, verse 3. It says, for you will soon be bursting at the seams, and your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. God was speaking to his people, Israel, who were in bondage. They were a broken people in bondage. And yet God gave them an incredible promise that he has fulfilled and is fulfilling with his people, Israel. And he gave this charge to them and to us today, which is to enlarge the place of your tent. Speaking of tents, to erect a tent, to put up a tent, you would enlarge the covering and drive the stakes deep down into the ground, and in that case, the desert, into the sand. And as God is saying to his people, I want a family, and in this family, there is a covering, there is a church, and you are going to spread out, and your children are going to experience it, and you will inhabit the nations. God wants to do more in us. Do you believe that? God always is doing greater things in us in order that he could do greater things through us, in order that we could reach the people all around us. Let me say that again. God is always, always doing more in us that he might do more through us to the people all around us. And therefore, we are never, ever to settle. We're never, ever, as the people of God, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are never to settle for small or to get in a rut or to get stuck. Have you ever been stuck? When I was in high school, just going into high school, and we do salute all the teachers and administrators and coaches and, of course, parents and students at this very exciting time of the year when we're back to school. But going into my sophomore year in high school, Eastern Hills High School, I was a drummer, and I played the drums and had been doing it in junior high. And one of my goals was to play in the Eastern Hills High School stage band. Now, that was a cool thing to do because it was a jazz band, and you know, you played with your trap, your set, and you know, not just something hanging around your neck. But in order to be qualified to try out for the stage band, which I never made, by the way, but you were required to be in the marching band. So I said, okay, I'll be in the marching band. Wasn't all that excited about being in the marching band, but I said, I'll do it because I want to be in the stage band. I had a little rock group that we were playing around town a little bit. So, you know, I'm saying, I'll do it. I'll get in the. So they issue me a uniform, the Eastern High School Highlander Band uniform. And my problem was when I would go to practice and do the lines and trying to play and I wasn't paying that much attention. I wasn't all that interested in the marching band, but, you know, I'm trying to get to the stage and to the stage band. But we're in the marching band, and I got my uniform, and day of came our first performance at Farrington Field at halftime of our football game, and here we go. So I hadn't even bothered to check out the size of my uniform. And so day of, I put my uniform on, and the pants are about 5 sizes too big. They're going to put 2 of me in these pants. So what are we going to do now? So my mother, moms always come to the rescue, right? So my mom stitched up the band pants, and we had pins in it. We took masking tape, and we're taping everything. I put a belt around it, and we had me ready to go. So I get out there, and so when I get there, to my surprise, rather than handing me a snare drum, I guess they'd been watching my lack of participation, they handed me the bass drum. Big bass drum. And if you're carrying the bass drum, anybody here ever play the bass drum in the band? All right, if you're carrying it, you're hooked up. And you got a mallet in one hand and a mallet in the other hand, and here you go. Boom, 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 boom. And so I've got the bass drum. Now, I really wasn't happy about that. But I'm in the marching band. And we get out in the middle of Farrington Field, and we're marching, and I'm just kind of watching the guys next to me to know where to go, you know, marching around, carrying my drum. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. But at the 50-yard line of the football field, in the middle of the performance, my pants go to my ankles. My friends in the stands are hysterical, especially all my baseball buddies. And, I mean, what do you do? You're playing the drum. You're marching. You're keeping up. I'm standing there in my whitey-tighties just trying to figure out what to do. I'm pretty well stuck. You say, well, what did you do, Pastor? I don't really remember. I think I kind of blacked out, Connor. But somehow I remember trying to pull them up and keep the beat at the same time and just get off the field. I might add, that was my last performance in the Eastern Hills High School marching band. But it's not fun to be stuck with your pants around your ankles in the middle of everything. And It's certainly not fun for a church to get stuck or for a Christian to get stuck. I want more. More of God's presence. More of God's power. More of God's promises fulfilled in my life. Like the Apostle Paul said in the book of Philippians, that I may know him more and the power of his resurrection. To know him is to love him and to know more and more of him. And so it is impossible, if I'm a follower of Jesus, to stay in the comfort zone, to be safe. And it's impossible for his church, for his people, whom he has challenged to reach our neighbors and the nations for Christ, it's impossible for us to stay where we are. We got to keep marching forward even if our pants are around our ankles. We keep going no matter what. The mission statement of Prestonwood has been clear from the beginning: to introduce Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, here's a key phrase, to as many people as possible, to as many people as possible, to develop them in Christian living, using the most effective means to impact the world and to make an eternal difference in our generation. Prestonwood, this is our call. This is God's commission for us. And God always, always wants more for us, that we would go and grow. You know, it's been said that a church will either go and grow or it will dry and die. We will either evangelize or we will fossilize. And to do this, God has not left us on our own, but he's given us the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God enables us and empowers us to get his job done. When Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 11 about prayer, what did Jesus say? He said, ask and seek and knock. A-S-K, ask, seek, knock. And when he spoke these words, he used the tense of the verb, which literally means keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And then he said this in verse 13 of Luke 13, and if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? There's our word again. There is more. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? Yes, God keeps pouring out his presence by his Spirit in us. And God is calling us to do what he said to his people so long ago, to enlarge your house, to enlarge the place you're covering. Again, he was talking about tents in the desert at this point. But the principle is true for us, the church, that we are to enlarge the place and we are to stretch and to deepen the stakes and lengthen the cords all around us, to not hold back, to spare nothing. And out of this barrenness and brokenness, the people of Israel once again began to flourish in fruitfulness, to produce and to multiply and populate the earth. God wants us to multiply. In fact, the very first verse that we read spoke of the barrenness of Israel at that time. But he said, you're going to have children. The barren woman will have more and more children. And God gives a mother a desire for children and more children. And in the case of the church, God's family, and the best description, I believe, of the church, there are many descriptions of the church in the Bible, but perhaps the most touching and intimate and relational of all is that of a family. We are a spiritual family, and God has birthed spiritual children and placed us in this forever family. And God wants not just a few children, but many children. If you are not saved, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, he wants you to be born again that you might become his child. Jesus said in John chapter 1, he said, as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he the right to be called the children of God. Jesus said, don't be amazed when I say to you, you must be born again. You don't just get in the family of God because somebody else is in your family or someone else. We are born again unto a living hope in Christ. As you receive Christ, as you believe in Christ, God places you in a spiritual family. And the scripture says that Jesus came to earth and died and suffered on the cross to grow the Father's family. Hebrews 2, he said, for this reason, Jesus gave his life to bring many sons and daughters to glory. Many sons and daughters to glory. Everyone is someone that God loves. And he wants you to be in his family. We say here at Prestonwood, it's never about the crowd. It's always about the one and everyone who matters to God. But having said that, always about the one, God wants a big family. This is the why of our mission. This is who we are and what we do. That we keep expanding, that we keep enlarging, that we keep stretching. Why? Because everyone needs Jesus. Amen? Everyone, every person needs Jesus. And a church that is not reaching people and then teaching them in Christ, a church that is not evangelizing and reaching out to the community, is not worth the ground it's sitting on. We didn't come up here from Plano to Prosper to just build buildings and have a country club for Christians. No. We came here on a mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we're told here to enlarge, to stretch. This is not a time to settle. This is not a time to spare. He said, spare no expense. This is not a time to slow down. This is a time to stretch. He said, stretch. Now, you know what happens to a body if you don't stretch it? At really any age, you know, we say, well, that's for old people. They get old and stiff. Well, if you see a great athlete before a ball game, whether it's a baseball game, football, what are they doing? First, they're out there stretching. They're loosening their muscles. They're flexing in order to do their best job, to run faster, to jump higher, whatever the job is. And it's the flexibility and the malleability that enables the body to move. So I like it when it says here that we are to stretch, that the habitations are to be stretched out. That is, there is more to experience. So much more God wants to do in your life. Let's make this personal. There's so much more that God can do and will do with your life if you are willing by faith to stretch out, not to hold back, to spare nothing, to take risks, to believe God for more in your life, for more in your family. God is saying it's time for you to grow. Don't be stuck in the middle of the field with your pants down around your ankles. This is a time for you to experience the glory of God in your life. Connor quoted it earlier. God is able to do what? To do more. Abundantly more than we could ask or think according to the power that works within us. And what is that power? That's the power of Jesus, the risen Christ, the resurrection. This generation needs to wake up to the reality that God is calling us for more. I'm a bit concerned about a generation that is way too selfish, who want to keep things close to themselves, that are, you know, constantly looking in screens and constantly turning inward, even churches and Christians who say, you know, we want it sizable. We want it sensible. We want it small. Listen to me. Previous generations have given their heart and their life and their soul to pass the baton to us, to keep running this race and achieving the glory of God in our lives. What are we doing with what God has given us? This is an entrustment. This is an engagement. And the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And God made every one of you, God made every one of you on purpose for a purpose. He created you and fashioned you and framed you and called you and consecrated you as his people for his glory. And the growth comes by stretching. When I was a child, I remember having growing pains. You ever get those things? At least that's what my mother called them. My legs would be aching. And she said, "Son, that's growing pains." And I believed it because she said it. And I suppose it's true. They're growing pains. And my mother would rub my legs and massage my legs. But she would say, "Son, it's okay. Through the pain, you're growing. You're getting stronger. You're getting taller. These are growing pains." And it's not easy always to grow. There are pains in growing. There are sacrifices that we make on a personal level. If you're growing your family right now, God's adding to your family, you know what's required. There are greater expectations. God gives you another child, or if God blesses you with grandchildren and your family is growing, you know there's some sacrificing and there's some stretching of the budget and all those things that have to happen. There are growing pains, but don't be stiff-necked. Stretch. You know why we get stiff? We don't stretch. I mean, I ask myself all the time, why don't I just get myself down in the morning on the ground and do a few stretches rather than try my hands with getting the news up? No, we get old and stiff and slow when we don't stretch. So God says to his people, stretch. Now the world wants to shrink us. The world wants to tell you you're too small, or you're not good enough, or you're not strong enough. But God is saying to every one of us, again, let's go back to you. God is saying to you, I want to grow you. I want to stretch you. I want to make you more and more like Jesus in your life. So don't get old. I mean, it's impossible not to get older, but you don't have to get colder in your life. You ought to get warmer and more winsome in your faith. Don't let people make you feel small or insignificant or insecure. God has you. People want to minimize the church in our generation. Set the church or churches aside as being null and void, robbing us often of even religious liberty. But we will not allow the world to shrink us. We will not let anything small us down. No, there is more, much more. What did Jesus say in John 15 when he was speaking about connecting and abiding in him? He said, by this, verse 8, by this my Father is glorified. You want to know how to glorify God? Say, yes, I want to glorify God. I want to honor God. All right, here's how. That you bear much fruit and so prove that you are my disciples. To bear fruit, to multiply, to reproduce, to stretch, and to spread out, to spend and be spent, sharing Christ, serving the church, seeing people's lives transformed, to be fruitful and to flourish. He has entrusted us with all of this till he comes. Till he comes. Jesus often told stories to describe all of this. And there's a great one in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. In fact, why don't you just turn in your Bibles to Matthew 25. We'll put it on the screen, but I would love for you to look at this in your Bible and read along with me as we tell this story of Jesus. He's talking about the kingdom of God and expanding the work of the gospel. And he said, "For it will be like a man going on a journey." This is verse 14 of Matthew 25. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property." Do you believe that God has entrusted to us this property? I do. This is a stewardship that we have been given, and the very means and miracle that it took to get this property, we know it's from God. He has entrusted us with this. And so verse 15 says, "To one he gave 5 talents. Certain amount of money. To others, too." This is not talking about skills. This is talking about money. "To one, he gave 5 talents, and to another, 2, and to another one to eat, to another one, and to each according to his ability. Then he went away. And he who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, that is, invested them, and he made five talents more. So also who had the two talents made two talents more. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And Christ is coming again. And there will be a great settling and a great accountability as Christians as to what we have done with the life that we've been given and the stewardship of what we have possessed. So he said, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled. Verse 20, and he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here I've made five talents more. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. There's more. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the two talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents here. I've made two talents more. There's more. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But the master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. That's a word, that's an onomatopoeia, isn't it? A slothful, that just sounds bad. You slothful servant. And the master answered him and said, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who is not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness and that place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. What a story. There's no socialism here. It's all about investing and using what you have to make more. And like these servants, in advance of the return of Jesus, our master, we are left here for a purpose, on purpose, and that is to be faithful and fruitful. To be faithful is to be fruitful. To take what God has provided for you and given to you and make it more. Are you being faithful and fruitful with what God has given to you? What is the ROI, the return on investment of your life right now? God says, enlarge the place of your dwelling. Stretch out. Don't hold back. He said, deepen the stakes. And, you know, with all this talk about growing and reaching more and more people, we're not only to lengthen the cords and expand the tent, but we are to deepen those stakes. This speaks to me of our biblical convictions. So we're not only reaching people, we're teaching people and deepening our convictions in the soil of faith and spiritual growth. This is why the focus here at Prestonwood is always the Bible, teaching the Word of God and giving the truth of God to transform lives. We are making disciples and deepening the church. So as we are lengthening the cords and expanding the tent, we are deepening the stakes in the ground. God wants us to think big, not small. He wants us to think more, not less. To enlarge, to stretch, not to hold back, to lengthen and strengthen. Unfortunately, there are too many small thinkers in the world. Small dreamers, small doers. But our God is a great God. He's a big God. Why did the master so severely judge the unfaithful, slothful servant? Why did that man bury his talent? Why did he do nothing in light of what he had been given? You know why? It's in the text. He said, well, I thought you were a hard and mean master. I knew you were. And I was afraid. He had a false idea of God, the master. And if your God, if you consider your God mean and vindictive and cruel, if you don't see God as loving and great and his family big enough to include everybody, you may live your life in fear. You see, he had no faith. He had nothing but fear. This is how we get stuck. We're paralyzed by our fear. And little people, small thinkers, live their lives in fear, not in faith. It is faith in a great God. It's not even great faith that we need, but faith in a great and big God. We have a great Savior. Amen? We have a great salvation. Believe God for bigger things in your life. Believe God for greater things in your family. God wants us to keep doing the greater works in the power of the Holy Spirit. To pray big, bold, believing prayer. Call unto me, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you can't even comprehend. That's what God wants to do in our lives. That we would pray bold and believing prayers. Not safe, small things. But to do the greater works. To bear fruit and more fruit and much fruit, to expect great answers and great provision. And no matter where you are, you're not too young, you're not too old to start doing what God is calling you to do, to start where you are and give your all to him. Jesus said, or the scripture says rather, don't despise the day of small things. So wherever you are in your Christian walk in your life, if you're just getting started or maybe you've been stuck, now's the time to start taking those steps. Ask God to give you personally, for yourself, for your family, for your job, for your career, that God would give you great holy ambitions and that God would give his people, his church, Prestonwood, that God would give us great growth, because there is more, much more. Daniel said, the people who know their God will be strong and do exploits. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Let me ask you to stand with me right now. And let's go back to the first part of the message. When we said God wants a family. A forever family, and God wants you in his family. And the way you become a part of God's family is by putting your faith and trust, placing your life in the hands of Jesus Christ, to give your life to follow Jesus. This gospel message, this good news call and invitation always at Prestonwood is for you to believe that Christ died for you. Remember, it's not about the crowd. If you're the only one in this room right now, if you're the one, then be that one, because God loves you and you and you and each one of you. And he died on the cross for you and for your sins. And he rose from the dead. And if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, for whoever we shall be saved, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord. Whoever just somebody, one body, you. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You say, saved, what are you talking about? Saved means to be saved from our sins, to be saved from judgment and hell, to be forgiven of all of our sins. Christ will come into your life. He will forgive you and cleanse you by his blood, by his cross. You can be forgiven. And there's no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. No more sin, no more shame. Forgiven and fulfilled, because now Christ comes to live in you. And you now have power for living. This is the Christian life. Christ in you and you in Christ. So to be saved means to have all your sins forgiven. It means to invite Christ into your life. And he lives in you by his Spirit. And it means what we sang about earlier. That one day he'll wipe away every tear from our eyes. No more sorrow, no more suffering, and no more sinfulness. None of that. All of that is gone because we're going to heaven. Listen to me. I am as sure for heaven as if I were already there. Not because of what I have done. Not because I'm a preacher or a pastor or a good person. Not that good, I assure you. But because of what Christ has done for me. I know that I know that I know that if I take my last breath on earth this day, that I'll take the biggest breath of my life in the pure air of eternity and in the presence of Christ. And so you can know this assurance. Do you know for certain that if you were to die today, that you would go to heaven? Are you ready for the Master to return? Have you given your life back to God? Your life is a gift from God. What you do with your life is your gift back to God. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me and invite Christ into your life, to become a member of his family. As many as received him, to them gave he the right to be called the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. So pray like this. Lord Jesus, I know that I have sinned and broken your commandments. But today I turn from my sin. I trust in you. Jesus, come into my life. I need you. I want you. Jesus, come into my life. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive my sins, change my heart, make me a new person. Give me the courage to follow you in the power of your Spirit all the days of my life, from this day forward. You've been going your way, you've been living your own life. Now a miracle is taking place. You're coming out of darkness into light. You're coming out of death and into life. You're coming out of sin and into salvation. So thank him. Say, Jesus, thank you for hearing my prayer, from hearing my heart. And give me the courage now to give my life back to you, all in, beginning today, that I will confess you and openly follow you until you come for me. There are others, you're a believer already, but you've never been baptized as a believer in Christ. You might have gotten wet in water one time or sprinkled a little bit or even dunked in water, but you've never been baptized as a believer in Jesus Christ. Why don't you come today and say, as a believer, I want to be baptized at a future date. Not today, but at a future date, we'll set an appointment for your baptism. But you can make that decision. Nail it down. Do it today. Bring your family with you. Some of you are believers, you're baptized believers, but you don't belong to a local church. You're not actively serving Christ, and you want to belong here. We need each other. You want to be a part of a church like this one, on mission, under the mandate of Jesus Christ, our great commander-in-chief, to go into all the world, starting with our neighbors and then to the nations, to spread the gospel, the good news. You want to be a part of an exciting, dynamic church like this one, where you're loved and cared for, where you can serve and minister and use your spiritual gifts. So come, just you, or come with your wife, your husband, come with your family, your children, and join this church today as God, the Holy Spirit, is prompting you to do it. Maybe you didn't even plan to do it, but today's the day, because God's Spirit is moving in this place and in each person's life. We welcome you, Lord, now during this invitation. May your Holy Spirit Move in every heart, every one of us, Lord, as we pray. As people come to you, as they're added to your kingdom and added to your church, give them courage, give them strength, give them the faith to do it. And Lord, do more today than even in the past. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.